Minions, did you know Sky Broadband Superfast guarantees your speed?
But then I could get a chat with
them. No, Stuart, it doesn't guarantee you'll win the game.
Okay.
Or that your video will go viral. Or that you'll match with the love of your life. But Sky Broadband Superfast does guarantee the speed we promised or money back. Ooh. So reliable, it's minion-proof. Sky, believe in better. Sky Fibre areas only. Speed measured to hub. Must drop below min download speed for 3 consecutive days. 1 month subscription refund. Claim up to twice in midterm after first fortnight. See sky.com.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can also find me on the Game Brain podcast. And joining me today on this very special recap of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is the one, the only, the very special and wonderful Ronnie Karam. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
How are you today? How are you?
How are you? How are you? Harry.
I'm good. Just watch some Lisa Rinna screaming Harry for 20 minutes.
We forgot to synchronize our polka dots. We forgot to wear the
Wasn't
same.
That a big business moment?
That it was
a big business moment if I've ever seen one, people.
It was an inverted big business moment. We are doing Crappens on Demand today. To do that, go to patreon.com/watchorcrappens and then sign up at the $5 level. Ronnie just gave some instructions, reminder instructions the other day, but I'll just give them again. Just, you can set a cap for yourself. So you're not going to wind up spending $10,000 a month. You say how much you want to spend per month and you tell Patreon. You walk right up to Patreon and you tell them, this is how much I want to spend per month, okay?
You'll be capped.
And you'll be capped, and you won't spend a dollar more. So don't get confused or don't get alarmed. It's just that's the way it is. You can put a cap, and you're all good. So we highly recommend it, and you get access to all sorts of cool things like Crappens on Demand. We do our weekly bonus episode that this week is going to be Top Chef. We always have so much fun with that. We also have a Discord server. If you are sign up at the Crappens on Demand level, you have access to the Discord server where there's always a lot of good conversation. And I'm going to schedule a time maybe next week where it'll just be like a chat sesh, like a text chat sesh on Discord. It'll be super fun. So those are all the fun perks about Crappens on Demand. Okay. So today we have a very big episode because we are obviously recapping Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But one thing that happened that was really big in the world of Beverly Hills, the show, is that Hulu finally aired its ABC News special, The Housewife and the Hustler, which was a basically like a very fancy Dateline episode. It was like kind of like a big open-ended.
It was not very fancy at all. It was actually more low rent than a Dateline episode, this one. Yeah. I mean, you open with Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They opened with Danielle Staub.
Yeah,
Housewife and the Hustler, which is kind of a slam to Lisa Rinna, really. Because don't hustle the hustler, okay? Ramona is Lisa Rinna.
Yeah, Ramona.
So did you watch? Did you end
I
up
watched
watching?
The whole thing. I really enjoyed it as just like a pulpy expose. I mean, it's sort of weird because it's one of these things where it's a little... the reason why it feels like a Dateline expose is because... We're only at the beginning of this whole thing, so it doesn't really go anywhere. It's just kind of like saying, this is what's going on, this is what the problem is, this is where the issues are, here are all the characters. It's kind of like a good primer. There was a really good article in the LA Times a few months ago that really went in depth on a lot of the things that are going, that are really, like, have gone awry with Tom Girardi, and this sort of touched on those. But as Ronnie said, the documentary opens up with Danielle Staub sauntering towards her seat. You only see her legs, and she sits down, and it's just Danielle Staub. And I just busted out laughing. I'm like, you know, Danielle Staub is just like this amazingly wonderful Wicked Witch of Bravo. And like the fact that she pops up here, we should have known. We should have known.
Oh, God. She's such a monster. She's so gross and desperate and hilarious.
Hilarious.
Like, every question she made about herself, you know, like, well, she's the best casting they've ever had besides me. She's the best since me. And what was her other? I mean, well, she had a lot of them.
She said, I think we mentioned this the other day, that she said, well, we both worked together on Watch What Happens Live. I'm like, you guys were not like producers, okay? You were both guests. Maybe there was overlap. I don't know what that was even about, but we both worked together on Watch What Happens Live.
And she said, and we both went through the same strip club, Shakers, which, you know, Erica is very big on saying Shakers is not a strip club. It's a bikini go-go dancing club. Right. Danielle, like, sort of wrecked that one in 2 seconds. And she's like, a lot of girls rolled through there with just some many. Like, she's talking about being on Broadway, you know, like, we had our chance at Shakers, but now it's up to the other girls to bring their... to bring their spin on it. So Danielle was really hilarious.
I was going to say also, the other thing with Danielle was so funny is that she can never help herself. And she keeps on inserting these little Danielle shady moments where she's like, well, you know, Tom got her, because she likes to sing. Not very well, but she likes to sing. She just always loves
Yeah, I just love that she would. She can't really carry a tune, but she can still sing. It's like, have you heard yourself sing? Like, she's just such a sad hypocrite woman. And what's the other thing she said about Erica? She's like, oh yeah, and I love that she's just a bitch, which is okay, because I'm a bitch. That's how you gotta be. I mean, it wasn't only that she had that it was Danielle Staub, and that's like the lowest rent you could go. It's like filming it in front of a dollar store, basically. Right. But you have Danielle Staub, but Danielle doesn't know shit. She doesn't know Erica. She doesn't know any of the news that's happening. So whenever they ask her something, she just like relates it back to her and how fabulous she is. That has nothing to do with Erica. Like, how is this an interview? Then you've got Dana Pam over here from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Dana Wilkie. 25,000, remember? 25,000. She's one of the other experts. Her belt is off center. She doesn't look right. I didn't even know who she was at first.
I think she has like 5 pillows behind her because she's sitting. Her posture is absurdly amazing. She's just like perfectly like squat, sitting there just like that. So she's just sitting there, and you know, her I feel bad, but the thing that I kept on thinking about was, does her back hurt? Because she has, actually, I never noticed how huge her boobs are. Like, not to be like, hey, what's going on with your boobs? But I'm like, wow. This lady, she must have a very strong back. I'm sorry that that's what I noticed, but that's what I noticed.
Well, this Dana Wilkie, okay, you get Dana on, who, first of all, was on for, like, maybe half a season. I mean, she was on a season, but she wasn't a real housewife. She was a friend of. And then they tried to bring her back as a guest spot. She had Taylor Armstrong drag her back on to talk shit about Kyle. Remember
some
that?
Crazy
and
sunburn.
She was like chain smoking. She was like chain smoking and pacing and talking about how she's going to bring down Kyle Richards. And we never saw her again. So that's pretty much all we know from her on the show. But then she's such a fucking hypocrite on this, talking about Erica's crimes and never mentioning her own or like going into her own. I mean, Dana Wilkie, and she still won't talk about it. You know, she's still one of our friends who interviewed her said that she'd talk about it on their Patreon or something. I'm like, really?
I mean,
you can Google it. And she's basically, she was in a financial fraud situation that she went down for, where she was working. She had her own media company of some kind, or advertising company, and she was working with these two ladies, and they were funneling money through the company from Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Okay.
And they got cut, and she almost went to prison for like 20 years and ended up getting 5 years probation if it was house arrest, but it was 5 years probation and like $500,000 in fines and stuff. So I don't know what she's talking about up here, like some moral authority. And she kept saying things like, oh, and you know, the word is in Beverly Hills. Didn't Dana Wilkie move to Florida? You know what? While you talk about the next thing, I'm going to look up if Dana Wilkie moved to Florida, because I think she did.
Maybe. So there's just like, they brought in a lot of people who don't seem to actually be connected to the life of Erica, but are just sort of talking about it. But there, I mean, there are some like reporters. There's like a reporter from the LA Times and et cetera. And so they're just like talking about it. And, you know, we sort of get a backstory about a little bit more about Erica and Erica meeting Tom. And it's all kind of like, the first segment is really about Erica and Tom. And we see some archival footage of Tom when he was going after PG&E for like the Aaron Brockovich case and everything. And we're seeing Erica meeting him, et cetera. But then after that first segment, and there's a lot of Sonny Hostin too. And then after that first segment, we start focusing on the victims. And there's one guy that they really focus on a lot. This guy, Joe Ragomez or something. And he, like, there was a gas main blew up under his house and torched the entire neighborhood. His girlfriend died. It was just like devastating. And somehow he managed to emerge alive. And he won a settlement with Tom Girardi for $12 million because his mom's best friend put him in contact with the firm. So, and you see over the course of the documentary, he has just, his body is covered with burns. He's doing surgery after surgery after surgery. And it was interesting because I mentioned the article in the LA Times that came out a few months ago. And the article talks about how, oh yeah, there's this one guy, there's someone who, you know, survived an explosion or something that hasn't gotten his money. And when you read it in the LA Times, you think like, oh yeah, that sucks. But actually watching something like this where you see this victim who is like,
well, and that was the thing about this whole documentary, and it's a reason to watch it, really, because at first it's fun because it's, I mean, as fun as you can get, because it doesn't get to the victims at first, right? It's tabloidy and it's clips from the show, and it's just, you're kind of laughing because Erica's just so fucking full of herself. And over the years, we've gotten used to Erica, you know, we've gotten used to what a dick she is, but especially in the first seasons where she's like, I've been being poor sucks, being rich is awesome. I like being rich better than being poor, right? And making all these comments, and then an interview where she's showing her closet off and being like, oh, this is really intense, just you wait. And just showing all this when you know that they've stolen all this money, or Tom has stolen all this money. We still haven't gotten the proof of Erica, but we'll get to that. And so it's kind of funny because you're like, haha, these assholes. And now they're getting caught. And now you're seeing all the clips of them bragging and showing off all their money. But then it goes into the victims and it gets so fucking sad because you see, up until this point, we knew that Tom was funneling money. And they've made it sound like Tom is taking, basically, he took some money, which he wasn't supposed to touch, from the client's winning account, you know, he's taking the money to invest it.
He's going to invest it and take care of the money for them,
right? And we've known so far that he's taking that money, and then he's taking out loans, and he's taking out money from other settlement wins to pay back those loans on the money he took in the first place. And it sort of starts Ponzi-ing up, right? You're taking from one thing, so we've kind of known that. But to actually hear the audio clips of Tom lying to these people and calling the victims and saying, listen, I'm the good guy, you know, and you're my favorite clients, and he talks in this baby voice to them, and he says, oh, I'm just here to help you, I'm the good guy, and you know, I know the old district attorney or the old judge, whatever, and he doesn't want your kid to have all this money at one time because it could be bad for him, so the judge thinks that, you know, I should invest the money for you, and you'll get more money if I do it for you, call me back, I'm the good guy. And meanwhile, he's stealing everything from these people.
Yeah, what?
I mean, wow. I was like, damn, Tom is, this is all way worse than I thought.
He's doing this whole like, why doesn't, you know, I want this money too. I want this. I feel so bad. And, you know, they have, you know, proof like that. He got X payment from the settlement money, and that he calls like 3 months later, be like, oh, I haven't gotten it yet. And it's just, I think it was, you really sort of see what a schmuck this guy was. And what they really didn't get into in this documentary, which I was sort of hoping they would, but it was in the article, was that, they hinted on it in the documentary that the lawyers got paid They got paid well, but it was not a partner. I don't think it was a partnership. I think that he fully owned the law firm. But so instead of being a partnership but people, they got crazy, crazy, crazy perks. And they did get into that. Like Leanne Rimes sang at their Christmas party and everything. But it was like, the article really gets into like the reason why it was exciting to work there was because the perks were just so good. But he probably was spending all his clients' money on this stuff and Erica's career. And he looks really bad. And Erica, by association, looks really, really bad because, you know,
well, it's not just association. I mean, she's like signing on documents and yeah, she's on all these documents. She's a secretary of one of these companies and she has a thing called EJ Global for her company and he gave $20 million to that company as a loan. And, you know, these lawsuits have been filed for years. People have been filing complaints and lawsuits for years and years, but Tom is friends with the mayor or, you know, with the judges. Everyone. And the mayor, you know, he's well connected. They have a clip of it's Gavin Newsom, right?
Yeah.
He's on Watch What Happens. Clip. And he's like, well, my favorite housewife is Erica Jenkins. Tom gives us tons of money, just tons of it. Yeah. And just looks like a total
Not a good time for that clip to come up. and they like unearth all these clips of Erica just bragging about her money. I think actually, if you never watched The Housewives, you would actually think that Erica's persona was maybe actually a little different than what it is on the show. But they have Christopher Darden there. He's talking about it from the OJ case. There's another guy. I mean, basically, Tom is going to get disbarred. And where it leaves off is that his case has been recommended to federal prosecutors. And Sonny Hostin's like, I was a federal prosecutor. You do not want to get recommended to me. You do not. Megan McCain, be quiet. This is my documentary. Okay, you're not.
I know. Megan McCain, her face just pops up on another screen.
Like, how dare you? How dare you? My father was John McCain. How dare you, ma'am?
With like one ponytail up here and another one like down to the side.
It's a good watch. I mean, it doesn't really take us anyplace new, but if you haven't heard about what's going on, it's good. And I think it's actually good because it does remind us that this isn't just like a splashy tabloidy story, that there are actually real victims who are suffering for real. There's also another guy who in Indonesia who lost his family because of the Lion Air crash. And like they're real victims who are not getting paid and they deserve to get paid. And it's so obnoxious and it must be absolutely infuriating if you're sitting there in your like, you know, after your who knows which surgery and you haven't received a dime and you're watching Erica on TV, even if Erica was completely innocent. You're just watching her on TV, you know, parading around her wealth and like, oh, we have two planes. We got the big plane that's for going to Europe and the little one that's more regional. Saying all that stuff, man, my blood would be boiling. It would be boiling.
Well, for all those people who are like, Erica didn't know. This is like a Teresa situation. You can't blame Erica for what her husband did. Okay, no one is doing that. But yes, Erica did know. This shit has been filed forever. This divorce happening like right when it happened to hide assets and all this other shit. Yeah, and even if you don't believe any of that stuff, the way Erica has acted ever since this happened by posting like, you know, just her trashy, just go look at her Instagram if you want to know how Erica's dealing with it. And what else was I going to say about Erica's? They're showing all these contracts and stuff. And now Erica's fighting with she's trying to get the victims from being paid back because she is trying to get her money first. She's saying that it should, whatever money she's going to be owed in this divorce should come before all the victims. She immediately went on and also follow like Ronald Richards on Twitter in case I'm getting all this wrong. There's a podcast called The Bravo Docket that goes really in depth. It's lawyers who go through all of this stuff. So this is me just repeating shit that I'm reading. And cause of course I'm obsessed. So if I'm getting anything wrong, sorry, correct me, you know, and I'll correct it next time. But, right when all this stuff happened, she, started selling all of her shit because she's got so many expensive assets, right? Which we see on the show. So to get money, because their bank accounts were frozen, Tom and hers were frozen. So she went online and started selling all of her stuff to get money. And then they blocked that. They filed something. They were like, you can't sell your assets. These are going to be used to pay back the people that you people were fucking robbing all this time. Yeah,
I think.
I mean, it's just bad. It's really bad. So don't just blindly, you know, I'm not saying blindly jump on top and start beating her up even more either, just because everyone else is. But don't just be like, oh, Erica didn't know any. Yes, she knew. She knew. And she certainly knew by the point that we're at in the show on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills now what was going on. And she's doing nothing but obstructing justice after acting like a jackass.
I don't know about obstructing justice or not, but I think that
fairness.
You know, I'm still going to wait to see how this plays out. I am fascinated to see. I think a thing that will be a challenge is that with Teresa, you know, Teresa was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I mean, I think it's fair to say that Teresa, there's a very good chance Teresa might not have known what she was doing, because I don't know if Teresa really knows what she's doing really when she just goes to the supermarket even. Like, I mean, I'm sure there's security camera footage of her walking into walls and like knocking over, you know, apples at the, and they're like, I know, I thought that was a column, you know? So, but like Erica, her whole thing is that she's very smart. She's very savvy. You gotta make sure you're doing X, Y, and Z. You gotta look out for yourself. Her whole image, I'm totally making up these quotes, but her whole thing is about being a badass and being independent and like being on top of shit. So I think it's going to be really hard to then play the, oh, I didn't know. I never had any conversations with my husband about the money. I mean, he is a liar. He is definitely a liar. So it is totally conceivable that he literally lied to her. It really is not a crazy idea. Well, of course he did,
but there are still all these lawsuits that were out last year that they were asking her about at the reunions and on Watch What Happens Live and all of these things that he's taking funds and not paying victims and all of that. It's not like this has just happened. So,
yeah.
You know,
but the divorce,
if she complains ignorance, it's like willful ignorance. It's not just like, whoops, I didn't know what was going on. It's like, yeah, you did. You knew what he was being accused of. And if you didn't check into it while taking $20 million that he just, you know, puts in your account for your business,
it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. I have to say, it doesn't look good. I did lose, actually, a good amount of respect, because as much as I rail on Erica, because I feel like she doesn't give enough to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like Erica herself, I don't actually have too much of a, I'm actually like fine with Erica herself, right? Like, you know, she seems like pretty cool person to hang out with, right? But like, I just don't think she's good on Beverly Hills necessarily. But this, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess like usual, classic Ben Mandelker character assessment of a Bravo celebrity. I have to go, oh dear. Oh no. Is this another Bravo celebrity that turns out to be a horrific person after all? Oh good. Brings my record to 0-12 or something, you know?
Yeah, she sucks. And so now the big question going into the recap now, like going where we are in the Beverly Hills season, that leads us to how is Beverly Hills going to deal with this? Because Beverly Hills is notorious for letting all these jokers off and never confronting them about anything going on in their private life, you know, unless it's something that Brandi Glanville comes on and accuses you of that's most likely just slanderous and false. Then it's, you know, they leave you alone. Dorit and PK finally got asked about stuff after years of being on the show and having accusations thrown at them. They finally got asked and were allowed to just ignore it. And now all the ladies on this show are acting like, oh, well, we just heard about the divorce today. We had no idea. And what could it be about? We have no idea what any of this could be about. Like, guys, we all have the same news.
Yeah.
We know what you knew what this was about. And still they're going to try and let her. It looks like so far they're going to let her just pretend. And
they can't play dumb. You know, they can't play dumb either. Given how aggressively they went after Denise Richards over an alleged affair with Brandi Glanville, and like I won't say they got to the bottom of that, but they definitely like they got like one wisp of that, and then they just were like they attacked. So here, there's already been headlines around. So you know,
commercials. Here comes one right now.
Well, either way, so the episode opens up with sun rising over Los Angeles, and there's Runyon Canyon, so empty, and there's an SUV driving. Oh, what a sad time to be in Los Angeles and going through a divorce.
And there's no music, you know. You just hear a dom, like a one drum beat. Dom. Yeah, you see serious. A black car driving down the freeway. And then you see Erica. You hear Erica's voiceover as the car, you know, winds its way. And she's like,
there's so many layers to this divorce. It's very complicated. It's very difficult to explain.
No, it's not. No, it's not. You married some fucking criminal for his money, and now y'all in trouble. Okay? Let's stop trying to act like this is...
pretty single layered. It's like a
layers
cake.
Of bills stacked one on top of each other. Like, yeah. Who do you think you are going to kid, ma'am? Not
one layer. One simple layer. So then, meanwhile, all the other ladies are gathering at Kyle's old house. And I sort of hate myself for just immediately knowing they were at Kyle's old house. I could just recognize it from the exterior. And so they're all gathering, and we don't know why. And we hear Rinna go, who's not here? Who's not here? Which is so Rinna. Let's see, I'm not familiar with our entire cast. There must be someone missing here. Who's not here? Who's in the headlines right now? Who could that be?
And Kyle is standing there in this polka dot stupid dress, dressed like the Children of the Corn Girl, becoming a big business character. You know,
she looks like she's going to a funeral in Dynasty.
She's wearing one of those big old preacher hats. And we see Erica's car pull up to Sutton's, and she's wearing a big flowy, I presume, Mrs. Girardi dress, because this isn't very Erica Jane.
No.
Let's not forget, she's two people. That was another thing in the documentary that cracked me up when they mentioned the double personality thing, how it's like,
this is my Erica Jane, and this is my Erica Girardi.
You're the same.
Yeah.
So the car pulls up and she starts walking in, and you see Garcelle saying, do you guys think that she was the one who really filed? And Rinna going, yes. Yes, I do. I do. I do.
And Erica's,
I do.
And Erica's like, I'm sure that they're very shocked and that they're going to have lots of questions, which I am not going to answer, everyone. Good luck. Waiting for that. And she's, of course, Erica, like you said before. Now she's Mrs. Girardi, so she's in this super conservative red jumpsuit that's with a pussy belt all the way up to here. Like,
I am so conservative, I would dare not ever break the law, as you can tell, by this very dark red conservative jumpsuit. Who in this jumpsuit would ever break the law? Thank you very much. Case dismissed.
And she tells us, I did not. Oh, no, you see her telling the ladies when she's finally in this party. She's like, I did not see it in this way. I saw myself holding that man's hand down as I pushed a pillow into his face until he died, ladies. Until he died.
And it's like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Dom.
So then 3 days earlier, and it's election day. And we see Kyle, and Kyle is in a different polka dot dress. This one's a blue polka dot dress. Polka dots are very in with Kyle right now. And she's poking around her version of Cecil's bar from Married to Medicine, because Cecil has like his basement bar. And so Kyle has like her version, which is pretty much the same thing. And she's pulled out all sorts of American flag napkins for her election party, which is not to be confused with Ebony's election party on Roni. And, but her election party is like 4th of July, like 1922. I feel like it has all these little flags and stuff like that. I don't know. I felt like that was not the vibe I was feeling on election day. On election day, I was like I didn't want to see anything festive. I just wanted to hide behind a pillow, you know?
Really? I was calling people and asking them how much Xanax they had. That's what I did. It was fine. So then, so she's joking with Maurizio about being the bartender. And Maurizio is still just laying it so thick this season. You know, I'm like, were you accused of cheating recently? Because he's very much like, oh my God, everything you do is so cute. Look at this. This is so cute. Oh my God, you look amazing. Every time you put on something, it's amazing, babe. Oh my God, you're the most beautiful. Look, it's the sun's out. You are more beautiful than the sun, babe. You're so beautiful. You know, you're the most beautiful lady I've ever seen in my life. I love you so much. I'm the luckiest man in the world to get the bartender for you tonight.
Tonight, so upsetting. So so Kyle's like, you know, we could have a female president, female vice president, and as the mother of four daughters, for my children to see the changes that are happening with my bangs right now, it's such an honor to have been in Halloween the film. Thank you, America. Thank you so much.
So she is talking about the text that we got at the end of the last episode that Erica sent everybody about her divorce filing. And she's like, you know, we were in Tahoe together, but when you look at their marriage from afar, you're really not that shocked, you know? Oh, really? Now, from afar, if you would have to look at their marriage from really fucking far back to think that they were even logistically married.
I'm going to say, if you look at their marriage close up, you shouldn't be shocked.
Yes. It's when you look very right in front of your face, you should still be shocked as hell. Yes.
So Mauricio's like, so have you talked to Dorit? And she's like, no. And we're like, ooh, so like something happened. We don't know what it was, but something happened. And my first instinct was there an incident on the bocce ball court? But maybe not. So then we go over to Dorit's house and she has...
Yeah, you know it's petty and meaningless because it's Beverly Hills. You know it's something stupid.
Yeah. So Dorit, she's wearing a Vote PK pin in her hair. And PK is walking around in a sweater. For some reason, I find PK about like 20 times more likable when he wears a sweater. I don't know what it was. I was like, oh, PK. Like in a sweater, he's just like a British old man walking around. He's like, oh, okay. But like if he's in his blazer with a black, like trying to do his Michael Kors outfit, I'm like, oh, get that scum off my screen. But in sweater, I'm like, okay. So he's walking around. He's like, babe.
You look great, babe. Yeah, babe, you look great. I'm struggling to see what's patriotic about that outfit though, because she's wearing a boarding school girl little suit with a skirt, and it's like green plaid, right? So green. And it's like,
I'll tell you what's patriotic about that. She's dressed like Clueless. That was what was patriotic. So one
patriotic,
of the greatest...
We're in Nigeria, aren't we? I've lived so many places, I can't keep them straight. We're voting for Putin, right?
One of the great American films of our time, Clueless. So Dorit is like, honey, it's a vision. I mean, what do you mean that's what's patriotic? Patriotic doesn't have to be red, white, and blue. Patriotic could be plaid, right? It's like, no.
Siberia for president. That's what I say. Now, you know, I don't know if I told you this, Piquet, but you know I love Kyle, but we've always had our thing. This time it was on the plane, flying back from sub-Nigeria, Rosseton. What a vacation!
We were flying back from Tatooine, Lake Tatooine, and I was having a conversation with Crystal, and Kyle turns around, literally mid-sentence, and cuts me off. And so then we get a flashback. Yes.
And Kyle just turning around going, I'm sorry, I just have one thing to say. And then Kyle's telling Mauricio, I mean, I chimed in literally for the first time that whole day, and she like bit my head off. And then it cuts back to the clip of Dorit going, Kyle, let someone finish this sentence and then you can talk.
I just wanted to say that the terror that Crystal has gone through is much like the terror that my character went through with Michael Myers. And you know, you have not lived fear until Michael Myers has thrown a brick in your face and you had to get a beautiful nose job afterwards.
So Kyle's like, let other people talk to you. Let other people get to talk. And she's like, no, I'm not. And I said, PK, I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. And Kyle says, I was taken so back that... I cried. And then you know what she did? She said, what, you're crying now? And then we got to the clip of Dorit going, oh, what, you're crying now?
And they're all, and she's crying and everyone's like consoling Kyle. She's like, like in her plane scene, they're like, oh, Kyle. It was so ridiculous.
It was so ridiculous, and I just happened to be going through clips of another season looking for a clip for something, and it was when they were on the bus and Kyle was mad at Lisa Vanderpump because she was closer to Dorit, and she wasn't as mad at Dorit as she should have been, and so Kyle was like, you're just about it. You have different standards for me, and you only like Dorit, and she started crying and went on the bus, and so Lisa Vanderpump comes on, and she's like, darling, I don't want you to cry. She's like, leave me alone, Lisa. It's like, no. darling. I just don't want to see you cry. Shut up, please. I'll cry if I want to. So it's just Kyle, Kyle causes thing. Shit. Yes, Kyle causes shit and acts like an asshole and then starts sobbing about it. So you have to feel sorry for Kyle.
Yeah, oh, and she goes, if anyone else had chimed in, she would not have said anything. You're right. Like, that's her whole thing, is that people have different standards for me. They do, because you're annoying, Kyle. So PK is like, well, you know what I say? Give her some of her own medicine. When she's talking, interrupt her. And then say, that's what it's like. God bless the USA. Stars and plaid forever.
So we go, now we're at the election. Oh, well, it's the election night now. And Crystal is with her husband, Rob, in the car, driving along. And he's like, so, how you feeling, babe? And she's like, well, as hard as it was coming home and decompressing, I still haven't had time to analyze that trip. You know, I'm just not used to someone not being nice to me like that.
Yeah, she goes, yeah, because there's so much stuff going on with the election. It's just like hard to imagine that people would just still have their own petty stuff going on. I'm like, hard to imagine. That's exactly when you have your petty stuff going on, because you're so frustrated and so stressed that all you do is have petty issues with people. That's how you process it. That is the time for the most petty moments that you could ever have. I swear I probably got into 5 fights over pea pods. That's when it happens.
And that's what you're doing too, lady. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe she's so petty. I mean, this woman had the nerve to knock and open the door to give me my jacket. I mean, when she came into my room and apologized 37 times, the horror!
She got mad that I kicked her under the table. I mean, what a bitch. What a bitch.
She'll be perfect. She'll fit right in. So yeah. They arrive, and Kyle's like, oh my God. Oh, well, first Kyle has to do the, oh my God, nice to see you. Hi, how are you? Nice to see you.
Also, I'm really excited to do this right now, because I feel like I haven't done it this season yet, and I actually am going to double down way harder than I ever have in other seasons, which is to say how much I fucking hate Kyle's neon art. Like, I hate it. And, you know, I know it's supposed to be actually very, like, expensive art. There's some famous neon artists, and, like, because people sent links to it last season, like, actually it's worth like $60,000 or whatever. I don't fucking care. That is like the most awful thing. You have this like bright pink neon art right in your foyer, and everyone walks in looking like they're, I don't even have a comp. What is the streaming pink light? It's just, it looks so ridiculous, especially in the context of this sort of stately old-fashioned house with the black and white tiles and those banisters, and then you have this like pink neon light that's like trying so hard to be like, look, we collect art. And the reason why I'm doubling down is because it's actually all over the house. They have a blue one outside, and it seems like they have something else. They just have a lot of expensive art that I feel like is there because it's expensive, but it's actually does not look good. Like, the art in her house drives me absolutely nuts. And I don't care if it's established artists. I don't even care if it's a fucking Basquiat, which I know it's not. But if it is, it's like, it's just like, you just get the sense they're buying it just
babe, to be like, of course they are. This. They're nouveau. They're nouveau. Okay. That's what it's called. Nouveau riche. Okay. That's what it is.
I've never prayed so hard for a blackout. Rich. Never prayed so hard for a blackout. someone take the plug off that art, please.
Yeah. They come, and Kyle's like, oh my God, how are y'all? And then Kathy comes over, and you know, everybody's air kissing or stuff. So Mauricio comes up to Rob, and he's like, oh, hey, I'm Mauricio, who are you? And he's like, Rob. And he goes, nice to meet you, Ron. Okay, let's go outside now. Like, I love that Mauricio's not even gonna try.
Yeah.
He's gonna be like, hello, director of the king, what is it, it's a cat king, lady, lady in the Tramp King,
Thundercats, Lion King,
cats. Lino, oh, I cats. Heard cats was a good one.
Now and now and some ever. Yes.
Yeah.
So, real estate business must be doing well if he's not even attempting to know the guy's name and get a client. So, So then Dorit arrived. The music is all tense. It's like dun dun. And Kyle, of course, is like, I asked for patriotic attire, but I think Dorit missed the memo.
And then guess what Kyle does?
How are y'all?
What is that? That Muppet voice she does when she says, "Oh my God, how are you?" Yeah. And I guess she's been doing it for years, but like this episode is like it. 10 in a row of her doing it.
So now, now, given that Dorit came in green plaid and was not very patriotic, Sutton arrives wearing what's probably some like $30,000 couture that has, it's like all busy, and it's probably Dolce, her friend Dolce, but it's like all the stuff, and it says like "Hey Baby" on it, but it also has these big doily kind of lapels. But at least you put an "I voted" like right in the center, like right here. So there's like some thematic, you know, connection to Kyle's party. Although honestly, my favorite thing is when people don't appreciate Kyle's themes. That is actually, I actually should be praising Dorit and Sutton for this, but I don't know where I am.
I think Sutton comes in dressed like a tax loop. That's all I see. All I see is somebody who don't pay their taxes. Okay, and you know that suit she got written off for some bullshit. It's like some rich lady who's like, "I vote," and I'm like, "You didn't pay your taxes, did you? Tell me the percentage rate you paid, ma'am.
Tell me you don't pay your taxes without telling me you don't pay your taxes." To quote yeah. popular meme styles right now.
Yeah. So Kyle's like, "How are y'all?" And she's like, "I am good." She goes, "Oh my God, what's wrong?" She's like, "Nothing. I said I'm fine. I'm good, Kyle." "Oh my God, she's crying. She's upset." "Kyle, I'm good. I'm good. Okay. I'm good, Kyle."
So then Rinna comes in like a shiny, sparkly blue tracksuit, and she's like, "Hey everybody, it's election night.
Elections. Miss Election Night. I have different hair today. Her name is Barbie. Harry named her."
And so then the group goes outside to look at the election results, where we see more awful neon art. And then someone's asking, like, "Did anyone talk to Erica today?" And we're like, "I did. Okay, here's my serious voice. I did. I did. I said, Erica, I'm naming my wig Barbie tonight. How are you?"
And Rinna's like, "Yeah, you know, Erica, a year ago, I mean, Tom was in great spirits when we went there last year. I mean, he was sitting there. He was on the chair. So that means, I mean, they were happy. He had a heartbeat. At one point, I put my finger under his nose. And he was breathing. I mean, they were happy, right? They were happy. What happened?"
Yeah.
So none of you know that Tom is going down for anything at all right now, and that Erica just dumped him because she's getting slaughtered all over social media. None of you know that? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Kyle's like, "Well, we don't know what goes on behind closed doors, that's for certain." I'm like, you certainly have a good way of finding that stuff out though, based on other seasons. So then Kyle's like, "I know that if I were going through a divorce, I would have shared it with these women. And I'm not judging, but I'm just thinking, gosh, I thought we were closer than that." I'm like, way to go, Kyle, making a divorce about you. Of course, yeah. That's Kyle's takeaway. "I'm not judging.
Yeah.
But I probably will ask her, I thought we were friends."
It's classic. Yeah, Kyle. It's Kyle's thing. Be honest. Just be honest. So, Kyle's like, "Well, I mean, I know that Sutton and Crystal, you guys had your thing, so how'd that go?" And Sutton's like, "I feel good, good. Oh, are you okay?" "I feel good. I said I'm good." Okay. So then back with the guys are all sitting around doing guy things, and they're gossiping, which is funny. PK's like, so what did Crystal say happened exactly on that trip? And Rob's like, "Well, she said that, she had fun with almost everybody there." Almost.
Oh, yeah? Who is the almost not? Sutton? From the way I heard the story, it was just a girls' trip, and like she walked in to return a sweater. That's like literally all I heard about the whole trip, you know? And PK's like,
"Well, if it were me, I wouldn't go in without knocking." Well, of course you're like that, because you're always living in some rented-ass house or some house that you own with a bunch of other investors, and you're sick of them trying to show it while you're pretending it's yours.
"I would never walk into a room without knocking or without potato chips first. So Mauricio's like, dude, like, you and I were on, like, a guy's trip, and, like, you would walk in, like, a nanosecond, you know? Like, although I don't think I'd invite you on a guy's trip, though. Old man in sweater, you know what I'm saying?
Like, well, I wouldn't go. It doesn't sound fun to me. I mean, look at you, a man who actually goes to work every day. It's disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourself. So then back with the ladies, Crystal's like, oh, my God, you guys, I got on the scale when I got back home, and I, like, lost 5 pounds. Everyone's like, oh, that's fabulous.
Well, you should say thank you, Sutton.
Sutton, you're a miracle worker. How are you, Sutton? Welcome to the circle. You're here forever, weight loss enchanter.
Sutton's like, oh, me, Sutton, a new weight loss program. No, I would never. And Crystal's like, actually, it wasn't a great feeling because I have food issues. Me, a weight loss program. A weight loss. You count your Suttons. You better count your Suttons.
Look at me. I make all you ladies lose weight. She's like, no, it was really bad. I am not taking responsibility for anyone losing 5 pounds. I will not do that. Where's my roller? Where's my roller?
I'm a recovering Sutton Watchers. That's what she should call it. Sutton Watchers. Bulimic.
Sutton Craig.
Like, what? It's like, Jesus, can the lady get out her sentence? So,
I think Kathy goes, I didn't know that. As if she's like, as if Kathy's entitled to this information. I didn't know that. But that's really nice that you shared that. It's very nice. Now, remind me your name again.
And Crystal's like, yeah, I know you didn't know, Kathy. And then it cuts to Sutton just going, oh. And slow blinking like, wow, I was just having fun talking about Sutton Watchers weight loss program. But I'm glad that we got some bulimia discussion in here. This is fun. Thanks. Gonna enjoy this.
So Crystal's like, don't worry, I didn't have a relapse or anything. It's just that she said that she was bulimic when she was 11. And it was something that, like, it's under control. And it's not something that she suffers from on the daily. And it's not something that she's ever hidden. But she used to, like, she used to talk about it in, like, middle school. And she thought that by talking about it, it showed that she was, like, on top of it or whatever. And so then Rinna starts talking about it.
Of course, I did a little chuckle while you were doing the whole thing, because, of course, guess how Rinna's going to react to this. I mean, honestly, if this was a game with, like, multiple choice questions, we could totally win this whole scene, right?
Yeah.
Because, of course, Rinna is like, wow, that is so brave. You know, when my daughter came out, it helped everybody. You, her. I mean, look at Crystal. Look at Crystal. Crystal wasn't even here then, but she's so inspired by my daughter that she just came out. You did it! You did it! Thank you, Delilah Bell. Delilah Bell, buy her wine.
So then,
which is some food, which is helpful.
So then, Rinna and Rob are talking about, they're all back together, all the husbands and wives, and they're just, like, talking about the election results, and Rinna's like, she's like, I'm just really nervous, but here's the way I see it, it really can't be that bad, because it already was that bad, all right? And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's only 4 more years, that's the way I look at it. It's like, it can be that bad, and 4 more years is a long time. I was like, oh, thank God. So,
and Rinna's like, I'm going to Costa Rica. I'm going to Costa Rica if this happens. Okay. So Kyle pulls aside Dorit, and she tells Sutton, she's like, I'm going to have to talk to Dorit. And Sutton's like, oh, come on. There is enough going on. But she does anyway. So they go in the little library or whatever.
And she has, like, a giant charcuterie paddle out there. We know it's a charcuterie paddle because we saw Stephanie on Dallas thinking it was like a S&M paddle on one season. So Kyle picks it up and goes, I'm going to paddle you for your behavior on the plane, Dorit. And she goes, excuse me? Like, Dorit's, like, not willing to joke around right now. And Kyle's like, I don't even know why we have, I don't even know what this is. Anyway, and she goes, it's for food. It's like, oh, okay. All right, no joking. Okay, so come sit here under another piece of terrible art that we have on the wall, and let's talk, okay? So
yeah, so Kyle's telling us, like, we had this exact same conversation in this exact same room with this exact same terrible lighting last year, okay? So we see clips of that. And Kyle's like, well, look, on the plane, I just want to say, like, one thing, and, like, you jumped in and you screamed at me, and, like, I mean, if it was anyone else, you would not have had that reaction. And I feel like you treat me, like, different than everybody else. So, like, why is that? Why? Be honest. Be honest. Be honest. I love honesty. Be honest.
And Derek goes, well, last year, Coyle, you interrupted me in the middle of my sentences a lot. It's almost like, here, let's pretend. I'm going to start a sentence, and the sentence is going to continue.
No, but that's not even correct what you're saying right now.
Kyle, I'm trying to explain the instructions for the exercise.
Why are you interrupting me? Well, that's why you do this, what I'm doing. You're interrupting every time I try and talk. You interrupt
Coyle,
me.
Coyle, it's a good sentence, Coyle.
What I'm saying is you treat me different than everybody Coyle. Else all the time. Like, I'm sick of
Coyle,
this. Like, that's
put down, okay, put down speak, the pedal, speak, Kyle. Speak. Put it down, Kyle.
Okay, putting it down. You speak. I want you to speak.
Okay, whoever holds the paddle gets to talk, so I'm picking up
charcuterie
the paddle.
Charcuterie board. I love charcuterie boards. I just love cheese. That's all I'm trying to say.
Kyle,
like, why are you
I'm going to throw this paddle
cheese?
At your head. I'm going to smack you up the head with this paddle, Kyle.
It was literally that, this conversation. Was just them interrupting each other and unable to talk. So... Dorit's saying, like, it's almost as if you don't feel like what I have to say has any value, Carl. I'm like, well, to be fair, Dorit, has it ever? Like, have you ever said anything of substance? Literally ever. I mean, I get that you're in a competition right now with Kyle, who doesn't really have that much interesting shit to say either, but Dorit... Really? You've never talked about anything other than clothes or, you know, excuses about your stupid accent and where that comes from. Let's please stop.
Coyle,
or Erica's vagina,
guys,
which was your whole first season.
Guys, I have plenty of things to say. For instance, how about this one? Dress like Kyle's going to interrupt you tomorrow. And then tomorrow, dress like that again.
But what I'm saying... So Kyle's like, but yeah, but what I'm saying is, am I important? Well... See, this is how Kyle fights. It's so enraging. What Dorit said, Dorit's a dum-dum, but Dorit is correct. Like, Kyle does, like, we all watch a show. Kyle does always jump in and treats her like a dum-dum, right?
Yeah.
So Dorit brings that up to Kyle. So Kyle goes, well, am I important? So now it's about Kyle not feeling important. Because
right.
Kyle was the one who interrupted the fucking first. It's so Kyle, this fight.
It's so Kyle. And Dorit's like, yes. So Kyle goes, do you want to invest in our friendship like this? And she's like, well, I think I have. And she goes, well, then don't ever talk to me that way again, because that's not what friends do. It's like, whoa, Kyle.
Oh, so you turn it to me and put my friendship on the line. Because I said it was, do I have to point out when you said fuck you to me, Dorit? Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
And then we see that clip.
And Ellie goes, remember when you said fuck you, Dorit, fuck you. And we have flashback of Kyle going, fuck you, Dorit, fuck you. It's like I just really emphasized it.
This episode is the most obvious, like literal flashbacks.
Yeah.
So Dorit's with them saying the same thing.
Exactly. So she goes, and after that, did I ever say to you, Kyle, like, you want to be friends with me? Don't speak like that. No, I did not. And she goes, well, last year we were in a heated moment, and on the plane it was calm and nice, and I was waiting for an in and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And of course, you were like talking about the most stupid things as you usually do, like blah, 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 blah.
We're good, Kyle. We're good. We're good.
She's like, are we really good? Are you doing the Erica
We're
Jane?
Good.
I'm good.
We're good.
Oh, yeah, the Erica Jane. Are you just doing the Erica Jane?
Good. We're
like,
good.
I'm good. I'm good.
Oh, I'm not doing the Erica Jane good. And I'm not saying good. I'm saying we are good.
Well, why are you walking away? Why are you walking away? If you wanted to be a friend with me, you wouldn't walk away right now.
But she does. So then she goes back in and Moore's like, are you okay right now? Like, are you doing okay? Everything
yeah,
going
no,
okay with
going
your
on?
Crazy ladies? Like, what's going on? And she's like, well, I'm just very disappointed in Kyle tonight. And if you hadn't brought me dad, if my dad went home, I wouldn't leave, but I want to get back.
And Pika goes,
to my dad.
And Pika goes, immediately or straight away? And she goes, immediately, if not sooner. He goes, I guess that's it. Okay, sweater man getting up. So so now it's 192 to 132 of the votes. And Dorit goes to the women and she's like, guys, I love you. I love you. And Kyle goes, oh, why can't you stay a little longer and eat? And she's like, let me see my parents, Kyle. Let me...
Let me see my parents.
So
they not get without me, pa, Kyle.
So they get into the car, and PK, of course, is like, Well, you know, I didn't really eat anything, and we were in the middle of a conversation when you did that. You know how you don't like being interrupted in the middle of sentences?
You had a hamburger an hour and a half ago, Picky.
No, but what I'm saying is that they can throw that at us, you know, and say that we were being rude. Like, they can literally throw a hamburger at us, and I won't be ready, and I want to have a fork and knife ready.
Rude is what they did. It's not what friends do, Picky.
So she leaves all snippy.
And now Kyle. And in then, classic Kyle sense, I feel bad that Dorit left. I feel bad.
Yeah. So I Kyle. Just really wanted to nip it in the bud. That's all I wanted to do. And Kathy's like, well, she's just, you know, Sutton's just happy that she's not in the middle of it. Right, Sutton?
Right, Kyle, Sutton. Your polka dots are crying. So then, they finally realize that the winner is not going to be determined tonight. So Sutton goes, well, it's too early to call. This is just one big anticlimactic evening, Kyle. I'm like, welcome to the past three seasons.
And now it's time for an old Housewives classic, especially of Beverly Hills. Housewife buys a car. Housewife goes to test drive a Bentley.
Yeah. So they show up at the showroom and Garcelle arrives. Well, she really prolongs. She really draws out her well, you know, as she walks in the door. So they closed the Bentley shop because that way they could shop without masks. Also, because it's the middle of a pandemic and not a lot of people are buying Bentleys. So they
opened it for you. They didn't close it for you. Yes, they opened it for you.
And Sutton tries to make it seem... Well, I mean, it is glamorous. So these are Bentleys. These are not Toyotas. But she's like...
Yeah,
well,
$380,000.
I know. Doing. I know. So she's like, when you shop for couture, you shop for it by yourself. And, you know, you get to try it on by yourself. Unless Kyle Richards ambushes you in the middle of Paris or Rome. But so this makes complete sense to me. This is how you shop alone for a car.
Yeah, so they have like the, you know, the empowerment scene of buying a really expensive car. And then we go over to Rob and Crystal's house. Crystal's making dinner for the kid and the kids are running around and stuff. And she's like, so did you like meeting everyone, honey? And he's like, you know, it was a good time. You know, Mauricio has a very good taste in wine. I talked to Sutton a bit. You know, I have to say she was pretty, sorry to say this, babe, but pretty easy to talk to because she knows Gentilly. You know I love Jen. You know I love Jen, babe.
I know. I was not expecting that was going to be the bond. Let me see a flashback of like, so he goes, so I know you're friends with Jennifer Tilly. I'm like, first of all, get out of Jennifer Tilly's business, Rob. Like, what he's like, does Jennifer Tilly go around being like, so I was hanging out with Sutton's track the other day. Oh, however
Jennifer. Yeah, she probably does.
Yeah, I hang out with Sutton's track. That's right.
Charmed, I'm sure. And Sutton's like, yeah, she worked on a movie with you. She told me you're a real nice guy. Basically, because you're the only one who's given her a job in a few years. But she says you're a nice guy. That was so mean.
I love that no one knows Rob. What? I think it's so funny that no one seems to know Rob. Maury called him Ron, and then Sutton's like, oh, that's right. You, she did a movie with you. That's right. That's right. By the way, I recognize that name.
Which raises a good question. Why is Jennifer Tilly not one of our Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Like, would she not be the most amazing Real Housewife of Beverly Hills?
I don't know. They showed her at that store opening, but she didn't really do much. Right. I watch her on poker because I like watching poker.
She does
and
poker?
She's a pro poker. Yeah, she's a pro poker player now. I've seen her a few times.
We should also say Oscar nominee Jennifer Tilly, by the way. I love Jennifer Tilly, and I feel bad that I shaded her about her career because she probably has been working all this time. So I take it back, well, Jennifer. I'm so sorry. I'm a super fan. If you're listening, which I know you're not, but I like to pretend that they are, you know.
No takesies, backsies. Nope.
It's too late. So Crystal's like, burned my bridge with Jennifer Tilly, guys.
Yeah, burned the Tilly bridge. So Crystal's like, well, I think that Sutton's just pretty much on her best behavior around you. And she tells us, she's like, yeah, Rob's basically just a lot nicer than I am.
Yeah.
Like, he'll just be forgiving and open, not me. Okay.
Yeah. So then it's parenting time, and like, you know, one kid wants to play Mahjong, which is super cool because, you know, I love board games. And then, we hear that Rob, like, makes the kids watch movies from the 40s, and Crystal's not invited. She just has to make the popcorn, but it's like a daddy and kid moment. Although we all know that they're not watching movies from the 40s. He's just making them watch The Lion King over and over again. He's like, oh, here comes Sunset Boulevard. Just kidding. It's The Lion King again, kids. And no, you're not allowed to leave the room until it's over.
So they sit down and talk, and Crystal's like, yeah, we have totally different styles of parenting. Like, I'm a hard ass, and Rob's a coddler. I mean, you know, every week he shows the kids a movie from the 40s, and I'm not even invited. I get to make the popcorn. So one of the kids runs over to them on the couch, and she goes, remember when we talked ice cream, whipped cream, sprinkles? Well, guess what? You just lost a layer because you ran over to us, and you're not supposed to run. So.
Wow. I'm surprised that there was even layers to lose. I'm surprised there was ice cream still on the like ice cream was still in the mix. So then,
well, you know that she's really, you know that she's like really, really serious and dark about it, and she starts with the ice cream as the layer. It's like, well, enjoy your whipped cream and sprinkles. One more, and you're left with sprinkles, you little idiot. Now tiptoe your ass back in the kitchen.
Yeah. So then she talks more about, you know, how she shared about her, like, her food issues, and she talks also about growing up, how she was the chubby one, and she wanted to be blonde and blue-eyed and skinny, and basically she wanted to be white, and she just doesn't want her daughter to pick up on any of this stuff, and it's just really exhausting for her to, when her daughter says, like, your legs are really skinny or something, that she says, no, they're just, like, worked out or something, like having to like correct and change, sort of shift that paradigm. So
I was like, girl, where did you find out what white looked like? Have you ever been to a Walmart? That would not have been your idea. I need you being like little and skinny. Girl, go to Disney World. That's what white looks like. Okay. You'll feel better.
The point is this. I just really want ice cream now. Well, I'm going to be honest.
No, you lost a layer, Ben. I'm
working for that layer. I'm going to get that layer back. I lost a layer because of the Jennifer Tilly shade. Jennifer Tilly is calling up Rob and being like, I listened to that podcast. He loses a layer.
I don't want Ben to ever get a layer. I want Ben to get a bowl with no layers in it.
No layers. I got Tillied. Damn it. I got Tillied. So now we go over to Sutton's shop, and she's there with Jordan, the shop manager. And she's like, uh-oh, Jordan, you're in trouble because Cosmo come in here and said, I told you not to get mannequins with arms and legs. I mean, told you to get mannequins with arms and legs. I told you. So then I spent the rest of the scene waiting.
She's like, Kyle wants mannequins with heads.
So Kyle and Kathy show up, and Kathy's like, honey, this is gorgeous. This is the most beautiful DMV I've ever been in. This is wonderful.
And it smells good. Like, she's shocked. She's like, wow, it smells good in here. And Kyle's like, how are y'all? Fucking Kyle with that. So they start talking about mom jeans.
Or as mama jeans, as Kathy. Are those mama jeans? And yes, they're talking about them, and Kyle hates mom jeans, but she goes, they're ugly, but everyone's wearing them, so I have to wear them too. Oh, I'm like, or you don't have to at all. You can have some personal style.
That just sums
Kyle.
Up Kyle. That's just like Kyle's personality in a nutshell. So they're talking about this party that Sutton's gonna have. It's Parisian because I love Paris, and they talk about what they're gonna wear.
Thank you. We do look alike. We do look alike, Sutton. Thank you so much.
And Sutton's like, well, I still don't know who's coming because people don't RSVP. And Kyle goes, well, you could just be chill and invite people and see who shows up. She's like, oh, I love having a $35,000 party, Kyle, where I just don't know who's gonna show up. Sounds fun. Good idea.
Yes, we wouldn't want you to waste all that money because that is rent for next month. So please be wise. So Sutton's like, I am desperate for many different reasons, but one of the reasons is because I can't wait to have all the girls show up at my house, okay? And Kyle goes, well, technically it's my house, but yeah, she's leasing it. I'm like, God, you're so obnoxious at all times. It's amazing. Yeah. I'm like growing to actually appreciate how obnoxious she is. Like, I'm starting to see it as a feature, not a flaw. And I'm concerned for myself.
Yeah, and Kathy's like, well, I really want to figure out this Erica thing. I mean, anyone speak to her other than texting? And Kyle says, yeah, she's just exhausted. And Sutton's like, well, I'm going to ask her. I'll text her. So here's what she texts her or whatever. So she's like, well, I'm going to move some of this store to the house so it feels more Parisian at this party. And Kathy goes, well, I do not think you need that piece of furniture there, and I see that closet is empty.
She's like, Well, that is the that's the powder room, which we actually do need. And oh my goodness, what's going on with my hair? Oh, sorry, I put a giant fan in the corner because I was getting a little sleepy and I wanted something to sort of put me over the edge. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Kyle's like, oh yeah, she's the big sister, so she always has to be bossy about everything. And Sutton goes, I don't know how I survived all this time without the two of you here. And Kathy's like, and what's this here exactly? She's like, the kitchen, Kathy. And she goes,
And this, what about this strange contraption here? Do we need this? Is this just some novelty thing? That is the cash register, Kathy.
It's like,
And this, that is the door. Not sure about that.
And do you need this desk here? She goes, yes, Kathy, we actually work here. It's like,
What about this strange mannequin with the polka dots? That's your sister, Kyle. Kathy.
Here's what I saw in that store. Decapitated women pooping and eating in the same space and then actually having to go to work.
Didn't like it. So now we go to Rena's house for a really exciting scene.
Harry.
Harry's working in his garden, and he's pulling up some potatoes. He's like, these potatoes are a little smaller. Oh, this is a good size. That's a nice size for a potato. That's a good size, Harry. I love that potato. Oh, look, there's a pumpkin. There's a pumpkin. Oh, Harry. There's a pumpkin.
Yeah. I'm not sure how sure I am that this marriage is in a strong place, because I don't believe anyone that was not trying to piss Rena off would be growing carbs like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're growing potatoes. Why don't you just grow a loaf of white bread and divorce already? Okay. How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Yeah. Harry Hamlin. I'm actually a little concerned for myself that I'm like very much on Harry Hamlin's trajectory, because he started off with a garden box on his balcony, which is what I have. I have Gale. Gale is my garden box. Little plug for my own Instagram. If you ever want to see the adventures of Gale, watch my Instagram, because when I'm home, I'm in New York still. When I'm home, for some reason, I'm just really into making really dumb videos about Gale in my garden box. So I'm on the Harry Hamlin trajectory, and thank God I don't have a lot of land, because I'm actually concerned that I would basically go full Harry and just turn it into one big, I don't call it a garden. I call it an aphid sanctuary. That's what I tend to do. And inchworms. I have lots of inchworms that are ravaging my plants at the moment.
Well, Harry did this because of the pandemic, and he thinks it's going to be Armageddon. So he literally went on the internet and said, how do I build a garden? And he also got and she tries to understand what the compost thing is. And he's like, yes, it's a compost thing. That is what it is. And she's like, what is it? What do you do? Do you put poop in there?
Has it started in Chicago? I don't get it. Why are we focusing on it? So then they have to do a fire drill. And so Harry has built like a reservoir. It looks like an above ground pool. That's a reservoir. And they have an actual fire hose. And, they do a fire drill where Rena has to like gather the hose and run it forward to the fire and then turn it on. And then she's aiming it and she's like, Harry, how are you, hose? How are you? She's just one lady fire brigade. Going at it.
Yeah. And she's like, to this day, I don't know what he sees in me, but I do know. I give a good blowjob.
She does the seal clap.
So they talk about Erica and Eric. I keep writing Rena down for Harry's name. They're talking about Erica, and Harry's like,
oh, yeah. I mean, you know, give her my best. Like, I'm rooting for her. I mean, that's great. You know, I mean, I hope she does great.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for her.
My first divorce was acrimonious. And then my second divorce was, I was just like, just get the hell out of here, Nicolette Sheridan. Get the hell out of here. Yeah. Wait, was Nicolette Sheridan the first?
Take whatever you
second?
Want.
Was she the second?
I think the second.
He has a child with Ursula Andress, right? But I don't know if they were ever married.
Yeah, I don't know, so I don't want to guess. Because, you know, I'm going to get it wrong. Then next you're going to have to say, oh, no, this is what I got wrong.
Okay,
you know,
I'll look it up because we're going to get a million messages, and I'm just, like, not in the mood. Okay,
hold on, yeah, I don't know. Second. So then he's like, yeah, the second time I just said, take whatever you want. You know, I said, see you later, alligator.
Okay.
And it's like, well.
Sorry. I'm just telling you right now. His first wife is Laura Johnson, and second wife was Nicolette Sheridan. And Ursula Andress
was the second
baby mama.
Yeah. So then, yeah, because he has a son with her, right? I remember that part.
Yeah.
Okay, so then she says, yeah, you know, after the second one, you get the emotional part of that, because she got together right after the Nicolette Sheridan thing. She got with Harry after that. So then he's like, we're not going to go through divorce again, right? Pinky promise? She's like, pinky promise? God, I'm going to have to do fire drills the rest of my fucking life.
Please stop spraying me with a hose. Thank you. So now we go
to pinky promise carb grower. Pinky promise carb grower.
Not another squash. So then we go to Sutton's party at Kyle's house, and she's got an event planner named Nick who she brutalizes, which is hilarious. She's not easy on him. And so she's setting up. She's like, is this a little bridal? I feel like this is a little bridal. It's just screaming bridal. I like how it elevates. Like, this seems a little bridal. It's a little bridal. It's screaming bridal. It's like, okay. So it's bridal. Got it.
Yeah.
And she wants to take them on a trip to Paris, but in my house. And she normally goes to Paris 4 times a year. And then she starts saying things like, I love walking in the rain in Paris. I love the smell of patisserie. I love walking into the office at 11 a.m. And Sophie says, why are you late? And I said, this is the way Americans do it. And she says, well, you're off the account. And I said, fine, because I'm going to go sleep with the chef who lives downstairs. God, I love Paris.
I love when my daddy calls and I say, Phil Collins, thank you for calling me today.
I could feel it in the air to not daddy in Paris.
So Crystal's house, Kyle comes over in some weird looking heels, like kind of like Maloof hoofy looking, because the heel part of it like looks hoofy. And I was like, ooh, nice callback. So she comes in her terrible polka dot children of the corn outfit. And she's like, how are you? How are you? How are you?
Yeah, now that you said, I now know the voice you're talking about, where she goes, she sort of does this. She goes like, hey, what's going on?
She adds like a little this.
She's like a little Erica Rose, right? Like a little bit of that Erica. Yes. Rose, like, oh, do you mind if I put my finger in your hair? You like a little bit of that.
Yeah. Always when she says, hi, how are you? Yeah. Okay, so Crystal's like, okay, come in. You want to have some tea? And she's like, oh, yeah, it's like chilly. It's like chilly. But she sees a purse on the
and she just stares at
kitchen table, and she just can't stop staring at this purse. And they're trying to make small talk, but she can't because she's Kyle Richards, and she only cares about, you know, ways to compete with other people's money. So she's like, okay, that bag over there is distracting.
She's like,
what is that?
Like all her polka dots just sort of like move to the right and just look at it. She's just like, and she's just, it's 95. By the way, it's a $95,000 bag from Hermes. It actually is very cute because it looks like a little, like a department store.
Well, it better fucking be. It better be fucking cute. It looks very cute. Better be planting potatoes in your backyard. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Bitch, that's, you know what? I would pay $75. Okay. So, and that's, honestly, that's even high for me. I think like, honestly, $30. So Kyle's like, I haven't heard one word out of Crystal's mouth. All I can see is this bag. And she's just staring at this bag, like with the biggest googly eyes we've ever seen on her in 12 seasons of Kyle Richards' googly eyes.
So then we go to Dorit in her tacky-ass Louis jumpsuit thing, or skirt dress thing.
Yes.
I don't know. Dorit. Dorit's another one. So she's wearing her Louis and, you know, getting ready to go. She's like, it's Parisian inspired. You know, I don't know if I want to eat coq au vin 12 in the afternoon, Picky.
But I guess I must go. Bye, Jagalusha, Boosha, Geesha, Bululu, Budu, Budu, Budiki, Biggity. She's like, get out of here, Mom. Bye, Jagalush, Tukaluka, Tibet, Pugalu, Bagalu, Ludu, Bushi, Papadu.
So we go over to Sutton's, and she's like, Nick, cue the champagne. And he's like, oh, okay. She goes, where is the champagne, Nick? At the door, Nick. He's like, oh, yeah. Sorry.
He's like, yes, ma'am. And then Kyle's talking. She goes, you know, back when I was living in the Bel Air house, that house saw some parties. So she's already trying to one up Sutton at, you know, she's competing with Sutton about the parties at that house now. And we see flashbacks of crazy parties. And then, so Kyle and Crystal are now walked up to the front door. And Kyle is, Crystal doesn't want to knock on the door because Crystal has legitimate reasons because she has this like weird energy with Sutton. But Kyle is just being dramatic. I don't know. I've never like rung the door in my own house. I've never like had to ask. Like I've never just like come out to the door in my own house and just like walked in. Like, I don't know. Like Kyle, I just want to just like shake every single one of those polka dots and just like knock the hat off. Like, Kyle, just knock the damn goddamn door.
And Crystal's like, well, I'm certainly not doing it. She goes, oh, yeah, what if she's naked? And they start cracking up. And Crystal's like, what are you doing in there? So Sutton answers, and they, poor Sutton, I mean, she can't even get the kiss right with Crystal. Yeah. She double kisses Kyle, and then she goes to Crystal, and they like kind of bump faces, and she's like, oh, yeah, double kiss, sorry. Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
So now Kyle is envious of her own house because she goes, oh my God, you're making me want to move back into this house. I'm not even kidding you. It's giving me goosebumps. Like the words everyone wants to hear from their landlord. She's like, it's so interesting to see someone else's take on something. I mean, Sutton has her own unique style and flavor. And while I love it, it feels a little weird. I'm like, what's weird about it? That she has her own style and sense, like she has her own taste and not just like follows what people tell her. And I say that as someone who follows what people tell me.
Well, when you're used to living in like Faye Resnick discount house and seeing someone who just spent $380,000 for fun, I would imagine it is different.
When there's so like then a Rinna shred of shows personality. Up. Yeah.
Yeah. Rinna shows up and guess what? I can't. Oh my God. I cannot. I literally can't. I was like, I cannot. I literally can't. How are you? They're wearing the same dress. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was pretty shocking because I thought the dress looked cray cray. And I mean, again, I'm not a fashion gay and it's probably like very on trend, but I thought it looked cray cray. And the fact that they both were wearing it, at least Rinna didn't have the ridiculous hat. I think the hat is what made it look really cray. Because it actually looked good on Rinna, but on Kyle, it just looked so silly. I think again, the hat really, it really changed the vibe. For people who haven't seen it, like this is really one of Kyle's most, like the hat. I cannot get over
it. It needs a sickle. So then Dorit arrives and Kyle's like, oh my God, I thought you had polka dots. And I was like, oh my God, no, Dorit doesn't, because of course she's left out. It's just me and Rinna. Sorry, Dorit. Sorry. It was a little Louis Vuitton polka dots on your head.
Yeah.
But then Garcelle comes in and she's wearing the same LV print, but hers is on a hat instead of a headband.
So we have two people in polka dot dresses, two people in Louis Vuitton polka dot hat things, and Garcelle is wearing sort of like a pink kind of blazery thing, and then later on when Kathy arrives, Kathy's wearing a pink blazery thing, so just overlapping each other. So then Kyle's like, not only do we steal each other's look, but Sutton stole my goddamn house, huh? I'm like, I don't think you get to claim that joke as yours, Kyle. You do not get that one, okay? That, no, you don't get to laugh about that. That's ours. That's ours to laugh at.
I was cracking up when somebody came in the door, I think it was Kathy, and you see that there's a crucifix right above the air conditioner control, you know. Yes. I was like, well, that's, you know what, like if you believe in prayer, that is where you should put it, because summer gets damn hot in those
please
hills.
Please work today, you know? Please work today. Yes. So Kathy's like, oh, how beautiful, look at you. And so Kathy's like, well, you all look very
did
Parisian.
did you mean to have that garage thing there?
It's the bathroom, Kathy.
It's so refreshing to walk in into natural lighting instead of the harsh hues of pink neon art that you think is cool. Well done. So she's like, well, you all look very Parisian, but in the daytime in Paris, this is the way I dress. So I guess I just flex on you all.
Yeah. So then Erica is the Garcelle is the first one to bring up Erica. She's like, well, I guess I'll say I was shocked with Erica, because when I met her, she mentioned Tom and she actually welled up when she did it. And then we see that of her going,
I am so grateful
tooth home. And then we come back and she goes, I mean, I felt the love. I said to myself, that's what I want. I mean, part of the best thing about a vegetable is that you know it's going to expire soon. Am I right?
I mean, Harry knows all about this now that he's gardening, right? And so Rinna's like, yeah, you know, Dorit goes, well, you know, Erica is someone who holds certain things to her chest, and when she's ready, she feels comfortable to share them, you know. I'm like, and that's why she is not good on this show, because she doesn't really share shit. And so Rinna goes, and that's when you need your girlfriends. It's great to have a support system around, and if you don't have that, you have us, who will tear you down.
Yeah, people are so full of shit. They are all so full of shit. So we see Erica driving in the car, and we keep cutting back. And Garcelle's like, no one knew. No one. I mean, no one knew in Tahoe. And they're like, nope, nope. And we just see a clip of Erica going,
oh, Tom. Tom's at the farm. He's a workhorse, that one.
She's like, yeah, I mean, it was really romantic the way she talked about him. And so she asked the ladies, she's like, so do you think that she really filed? I mean, it's her idea to file. I mean, shouldn't she just wait? And they all look at her and the clown music starts playing. And they're staring at her like, for what?
For what? The next Halloween sequel? I'm afraid I will not be in that one. No, scheduling conflicts.
And they're like, explain it. Say what you mean. She's like, And she goes, I know literally what you're thinking. Literally. I actually gave PK a milkshake made with lipids the other day. I get you, girl.
It took 3 years, but I finally figured out how to use a magic bullet. So then Garcelle is like, I'm just saying, they've been married for that long. And Garcelle, and Sutton's like, oh, Garcelle, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah.
And Garcelle's like, well,
can't she just wait for him to die already?
Yeah, she's like, I'm applying and y'all are slow. Like, you're making me spell this out on national TV. It was supposed to be a moment of quick shade and you guys are making me have to say every single second.
Well, unfortunately, I think that was the plan, but because I don't have a prenup, so she would have gotten everything. But unfortunately, now that makes her most likely responsible for all of this debt and stuff
that
was racked up in all of these crimes.
Yeah, because she is actually earning more money than him, so he would be on the receiving end. And so, anyway, Erica finally, she walks up in her very formal and very serious Erica Girardi outfit. And she walks in the door, and she walks in, and then she closes the door and is like, I'm here! And it goes, to be continued.
Of course, this show makes us think that this is the beginning of the Erica drama, but it's not.
No, of course not.
But hey, at least we got to see someone drive an expensive car. And hey, we still made it an hour and 20 minutes, so.
Well, we talked about a documentary for 20 of those minutes. I mean, it was an entertaining show. So, excited to see how this turns out. So everyone, thanks so much for listening and for watching, if you watch. And we'll be back. We have our bonus episode. We'll be up tomorrow for Top Chef. Did you mean to watch Top Chef this week? And then we'll have Family Karma on Monday, like we've had for the past few weeks. So if you're wondering, like, where's my Auntie Lopa drama? Monday. So everyone,
Monday it is.
Thank you so much for watching and listening. Ronnie, you're the best. Next time, we'll both wear polka dots.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches
Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the Wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
My Favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No One Makes Us Feel Well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's Get Racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.